Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here in KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today I'm going to be doing a show that I think is extremely important. I want to talk about PTSD and medical professionals. And I have to tell you a super cool story. Just a couple weeks ago, I get this package in the mail and this beautiful letter written by a man who wrote this book. And he's told me that he had listened to my podcast on PTSD and first responders, and he felt very moved by it and wanted to send me a copy of his book. Well, that weekend, I sat down with the book, and it is awesome. I could not put it down. So since I read this book, I also did the very coolest thing. I found him on Facebook, and I said, thank you for sending me your book. And then we kind of started chatting. And what happened is, as I read this book, I gave him feedback about it all along the way. And this guy was so open to listening to the feedback. And, you know, I was able to tell him the parts I really loved and found a couple typos, but that's, you know, the grammar nerd in me. But it was so cool. I have never done that with somebody when I've read a book. So he and I talked a bunch on Messenger, and then I started saying, you know, this really needs to be a podcast for PTSD and medical professionals. So he's going to join me here today, and his name is Dennis R. Blocker II. And the name of his book is called Clear, you know, like when the medical professionals go clear, and then they put the paddles on your chest. So Dennis had 23 years experience as a medic and a firefighter and a trauma tech in a level one trauma center. He's been the author of two other books. He's worked with Pulitzer Prize winning authors, and he writes really, really well. And I'm picky. I'm really picky. But this book was incredible, and I could not put it down. So he wrote this book because he saw so much trauma in the ER, and he saw so many medical professionals with trauma. And he also saw that people really didn't know what happened when they called 911, and they needed to understand. So it's for the general public, for you to understand what medical professionals go through with trauma and the trauma that they experience themselves. And it's also really important for you medical professionals who think you're all alone to know that other medical professionals feel this too. And there is help. So, you know, that's what Therapy in a Nutshell is all about. I want to help people figure out what's going on with them and find a way to heal. So Dennis Blocker is going to be calling me really pretty soon. And we're going to start talking about PTSD and medical professionals and how that really is such a burden to bear for doctors and nurses and trauma techs and the people that work in this field, even the EMTs and the first responders. This book speaks to everybody who deals with life and death trauma and other people. So I think that's Dennis that's called in right now. And if it is, we're going to put him on the air. But I'm waiting. I'm looking at my producer, Jared, here. Anyway, when you get this book, and he's got it available on Amazon and all of that, it's so worth reading. It just is. It talks about how medical professionals start out very, I don't want to say naive, but very hopeful. They go into their professions with this intense desire to help. They want to run to the traumas. They want to save lives. They're not traumatized usually by the blood and the gore. they're traumatized by the loss of lives and the things they couldn't do to save a life. Sometimes they'll have a horrible, horrible trauma, but they'll be able to save a life, and that's not as traumatic as the ones they work really hard and they can't save the person. So Dennis really lays it out in his book about how medical professionals get pushed hours and hours at a time, shift after shift. So Dennis is called in now, and Jared's going to put him through on the phone. Let's bring him on, and we're going to start talking about this subject. Are you there, Dennis?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you called in. It worked well. I love it when things go right. So say hi to all our listening people. This is Dennis Blocker, author of the book Clear. And thank you for taking your time to help people today. I think it's really cool.
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity, and I want to thank everyone who's listening because it's a very, very important topic, and especially with things that are going on in the last recent history.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so hard on medical professionals to deal with not only the trauma that they see all the time and that comes in minute after minute, usually in a trauma center, and the lives that they can't save. But then you add on the pandemic, you add on getting sick, vaccinated or not vaccinated, keeping your job or losing your job. It's all very stressful on medical professionals, and they struggle.
Yes, they do. And then they're also handling the issues that everyone else is handling with the kids' education, bills, trying to be a good parent. Being present in your kids' lives, being present in your spouse's wife, your spouse's life, and you know, you're a factor at work, but it's super important that you're also a factor at home, and that gets to be tough.
You know, I think that's a really good point, Dennis, because a lot of medical professionals get divorced. They have,
right.
You know, think about the difference between the extreme adrenaline and trauma and life and death that they face every day when they're working in the ER, working trauma. And then they go home, and they're supposed to shift gears. And they're supposed to be able to provide their attention when they're exhausted and traumatized and running at 100 miles an hour in their head. It's not easy for relationships.
No, it's not. And personally, when I went home, that was the moment of joy that I had was, the first thing you do when you get home is get your girls in the bath and get them scrubbed down head to toe, even though they're fighting you. And you do the brush and the teeth and all of that. And, you know, but then you're blow drying your daughter's hair, this long blonde hair, and you're talking to her about her day. And then just all of a sudden you're snapped right to a child that you took care of, a little blonde haired girl who you couldn't save because a dog had crushed her windpipe. And you're just immediately there.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a safe place, right? It's supposed to be a safe place. And you're with your daughters.
Right, and then you're supposed to act normal with your children while you have that difficult memory in your head. And that, you know, and that's just a tiny taste of what medical professionals deal with. They have to face extreme decisions, fast motion, besides the blood and the gore and the things that come through the door, it's the ones you can't save that I think have the greatest impact. Can you speak to that for a minute, Dennis?
Sure. You know, there's a well that I have inside me, and it's in my heart, and it's filled with empathy. And that empathy drives, and it makes me amazing at my job, and my patients and their families love me because of that empathy. They're being treated as humans and cared for. But that well of empathy is also what destroys us because we're putting ourselves in the shoes of those we're taking care of.
And right, you're allowing yourself to feel.
Right. And that's, it's a slippery slope, you know.
Well, I think that's a really good point for the public, too, Dennis, because when you go into an ER And the medical professionals have to make quick decisions and evaluate things. And if they don't have the time or the emotional availability to be all warm and fuzzy or hold your hand, you need to be patient with that, because I, like, if it were me or my child, I would rather them be efficient and focused than to feel like they had to take time to hold my hand. You know, I'd want them to be professional, you know, focused on what they're doing. And people don't always understand that.
The emergency department that I was in at the very end of my career was a total buy-in on the staff, from charge nurse down to the medics. And what that meant was, and how that was interpreted, and to your point, was that communication is key. So we want our patients to understand what's going on, what steps. So literally a nurse could be talking to the patient about the steps that are going. Someone will poke their head in and say, hey, your guy at bed 3 is not looking too good. She steps out, the medic steps up and seamlessly continues what she was saying. And that is so important to patients. So
I think a way of looking at it is it's the trauma dance.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Dennis, we've got to go to break, but I don't want you to lose your thought, because we're going to come back in just a couple minutes, and I want you to keep talking about that. We'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we have on the line with us all the way from Texas, we've got Dennis Blocker. And he wrote the book Clear. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Oh, good. We were talking about that dance that trauma medical professionals do, where one steps out and the other one steps back in, or a doctor needs to leave and go check on someone else, and the medic or the nurse steps in. And you guys are doing that trauma dance. Can you tell us a little more about that and how that is so hard on medical professionals?
Sure. Sometimes that interprets into some ways that you never could have imagined. I remember a call one night. We were just getting inundated with traumas coming in by air and ground. The trauma surgeon knows that there's a mother out in the waiting room looking for her son, but we had no idea if we had him or not. He was unidentified, so he asked me to handle it. Well, this was new territory for me. Very respectfully, I talked to her. I says, we do have a young man that we don't know who he is. He did pass, but we just are you willing to do this? So I walked with her down the hall, and unfortunately, when housekeeping left the room, they pulled the curtain too far, and it revealed his head, and I could see him from the hall as we approached the exam room. And she just screamed, this guttural, and any EMS crew out there, you're going to know that scream. And it was just this no hope, and she immediately passed out, crumpled. And I caught her, and I went to the ground with her, and I was holding her. And she just woke up and then screamed in my ear again, and I was just, you know, just squeezing her as hard as I could. And just us sitting in the middle of the hallway there in the ER, just, you know.
You know, it's what you're talking about, Dennis, is such an act of compassion. But what I want to ask you might be kind of hard for you to say on the air, but one of the things I love about your book is that you are so straight up and so vulnerable, and you don't mince words, and you don't get all esoteric and trying to tell people how to feel. You're just so straight up with how this affected you and affected those around you. When you were holding that mother, when she's seen her son, who's gone, how did that affect you emotionally? We know how it affected the mom, and my heart goes out to her, but how did it affect you?
You know, you're empathetic and you're compassionate, and you want to cry with her. It's just a horrible situation. But you have to be the strength, and you have to be strong, and you're fighting against everything natural inside of you to have to be stone-faced. And the way I described it to my parents, when one day they asked me where my joy went, I said that it was an invisible chisel and a hammer that was, every time we had a case like that, it was a swing of that hammer, and a little chip of the garter on my heart was chipped away. And it's just over time, your cup begins to fill with just this sadness and sorrow. And, you know, it can seem very, very bleak. And it can get to where you lose your joy. You don't want to hang out with friends anymore. You'd rather stay home.
The other thing I see is emergency medical people tend to hang out with each other because you get it. Firefighters tend to hang out
Absolutely.
With each other. Police officers do. Because you get the lifestyle. You get the trauma. And you understand the deep emotional impact that's there.
Absolutely. And that's why, Dr. Bay, that's why I put so much of myself into the book, because this is real people and real emotion, and I would be disrespectful if I didn't tell everything, the way I felt and the way that others around me felt and how we dealt with it.
Well, I remember you saying to me that as you wrote this book and you were trying to help other trauma people, trauma professionals, you said most trauma professionals think that going out for drinks after work and hanging out with the other trauma professionals is the way to blow off steam, and that can lead to its own problems. But so does going in the supply closet and crying by yourself and then going home and drinking to calm down all these feelings. It just leads to a downward slope. So what made you worry about you?
I no longer wanted to do things that I used to love to do. I didn't want to go out to the movies anymore. I didn't want to hear happy music. I didn't want to watch a movie with a happy ending. I didn't want to watch the Hallmark Channel.
Right.
It just enraged me, you know. And because it was just so far from what I was seeing every single day. And it would almost revolt me to where that's when I realized, my goodness, you know, I've got something serious going on here. And then, of course, that leads to other darker things.
Yeah, and that's what's so clear in your book, Clear, is that how it compounds, the traumas compound, the darkness compounds. You keep putting it away and keep focusing on the job. And I mean, we're talking about 23 years. We're not saying that, oh, you had 6 months and you went, oh, I can't handle this. No, you handled it beautifully for 23 years. And at some point you started to realize it was taking you down into depression, down into losing the joy in your life. When your dad asked you what happened to your smile, he was talking about watching the joy go out of your eyes, out of your face.
Right.
How often do you see that in other doctors and nurses and EMTs and medics and all of you that deal with extensive trauma? How often do you see that in your fellow professionals?
This doctor, this is going to sound crazy, but even yesterday when I was watching a documentary about ER, I paused the screen and I took my hand up to the screen and I covered the charge nurse's face from the eyes down, and I looked at her eyes, and she was smiling, but her eyes were not smiling.
Right.
I'm sorry, but there's just so many out there that are hurting.
You saw her pain, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Dennis, because...
And I looked at the screen and I said, you're not fooling me.
Which is kind of good. That's people need to hear that. I see your pain and I can see that you need help.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say that because one of the things I look for in my clients is I wait for their smile to go all the way to their eyes. And often when they first come in with trauma and PTSD and depression and all of that, there's no smile in their eyes. But hopefully by the time they've really worked through their issues, I can see a difference. And I love that. So does your smile go to your eyes now?
Yes.
Yes. And one of the things we're going to do in this show is we're going to talk about how you got from that deep, dark place into making your smile come back to your eyes again. Because if we do anything with this show, we want people to understand the medical professionals out there who struggle, silently usually. We want you to understand you're not alone. And there's help, and you can get the smile back in your eyes, too, because it's possible, isn't it?
Absolutely. It sure is. Thank God.
And I bet your two daughters just love that they, and your parents, too, and your family, who's all listening right now. Hello to the Blocker family. I love it that you've got that family support. That's awesome. We're going to go to break in another minute, so we've got a couple minutes here. But one of the things that you and I talked about that I loved is you said that the PTSD starts because it's born out of a desire to help. Medical professionals are in it because they want to help. They want to heal. They want to save lives. And that desire to help
is... they will put their own lives second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they will definitely put their own lives second. I've been out along a highway and just while I'm off duty and come across an accident scene that's very precarious. And it's not even a conscious decision. You just jump out and you start handling business.
Yeah.
And I've walked up on scenes on accidents before in my civilian clothes where there were actually doctors there. And I stepped up and I said, "Doc, have you checked breath sounds? You got..." And I've actually had to direct the scene because they were maybe family practice or this and that. But you come up and you start directing and people follow. And because they know there's, okay, somebody just stepped up who's got the experience. But I'm just saying that, you know, we will definitely put our own lives secondary. And it's not even, it's just you. It's who you are.
Yes. And I think the biggest characteristic I see that you're talking about are the people that run to and they don't run away, they don't freeze. Firefighters, police officers, first responders, all of you in the trauma medical field are people who run to, not away. And that
Absolutely.
Is a personality characteristic, and it's a drive and a motivation. So, all right, listen, we've got to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what does PTSD look like in medical professionals. And if you are one, let's talk about how you might be recognizing that yourself, because you might be in denial and avoidance. So we'll be back in just a minute. Hang in there, Dennis. Don't go away.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns. And they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adults. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Ready.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Shel Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You can go to randymcginnis.com, check out all six of his CDs. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on this show. So still with us here is Dennis Blocker, who is the author of the book Clear, 23 Years in the Trauma Field, and is sharing his journey into PTSD, working on his PTSD and coming out of it and finding that joy and the smile on his face again. But, Dennis, are you there? Make sure I didn't lose you.
Yes, Dennis, Dr. Bay,
okay.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. We wanted to talk to medical professionals about what you see in your coworkers and things like that, what you saw in yourself. And I want us to red flag some very typical things that trauma professionals get when they have PTSD. What are the things you see? Can you list them for me? Can you talk a little bit about them?
Sure. Definitely anger at home that doesn't match the scene. You fly off the handle for a two-year-old spilling milk, and you're just this erupting with anger about it. Doesn't match the scene.
Okay.
If you're drinking alcohol to take the edge off, you're not an alcoholic. You're not even a heavy drinker, but if you're having to take the edge off with alcohol, there's a problem there.
Yeah, it's a red flag, isn't it? That you're feeling something.
Absolutely.
That you have to turn the volume down on.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think that's a really good point, because so many people say, I go home and have one glass of wine. I don't overdrink. I don't get drunk. And so from my viewpoint, I wouldn't call them an alcoholic. But it's a red flag that they have to turn down those emotions that are so hard to quiet. I think that's a really important one that you said. Good. Okay, give us another one.
I would say that if you're driving to work in the morning and you get a pit in your stomach, and the closer you get to work, the harder that knot in your stomach gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're approaching this entity that is going to crush you with sadness all day, and the thought of it revolts you. You're amazing at your job. You train people. You train them well, and you save lives every single day, and you're darn good at it. But even above all that, you still have that pit when you're going in, and you're facing the time clock, and you're getting ready to swipe your badge, but you do it because you have girls to raise.
Yeah, you've got a family at home. And I think that's a really good point. Every medical professional I've ever helped, in 30-something years, I have never seen one that I have said, you shouldn't be going to work because your head isn't in the game, because you are lost because you can't do your job. They do their job at the sacrifice of their own spirit.
That's exactly right.
So I don't want people to get the impression that that nurse that's been working the 15-hour shift and has just seen three children die in a car accident shouldn't be working on your child. Oh, that medic or that nurse or that doctor, their head is in the game. They are focusing on you and saving another life. But it comes at a deep cost to their own joy and their own spirit. And when that goes on for so long that it's taking them down, then they need help. So go on. Give us another symptom
that
you see.
Absolutely, doctor. If you're looking at your bed and it's not a welcoming place, but it's a place that you fear because of what's going to happen when your eyes close.
Nightmares.
If you have to tell your daughter, Lauren, I'm sorry, doc.
I'm pushing all your buttons, Dennis. I'm giving you a hug.
To shake you awake. No, it's okay. I want people to hear this. If your daughter, Lauren, shakes you awake, if she has those instructions, if you hear me screaming, please come in and wake me up and pull me out of there, then you have got something serious going on.
Yeah. And post-traumatic stress, it can be that secondary kind of stress. Like maybe it's not your child that died on the table, but you feel the inadequacy of not being able to save that child. And then you watch the pain on those parents' faces when you're telling them your child didn't make it. That might be kind of a secondary sort of PTSD because it's not you or your family, but it's PTSD any way you look at it. It is traumatic and jarring and difficult. And one
Absolutely.
Of the reasons I want to say that is because so many medical professionals will say, well, I wasn't the one in the car accident. I wasn't the one who got shot. I was just trying to take care of them and they died. Still traumatic.
Well, you know, I couldn't help but put myself in people's shoes. And, you know, patients want someone that cares about them. And whenever I would do that, it was just, you know, it's who I am, though. You know, I'm not making this up or pretending to be a character at work. It's absolutely who I am, and I'm going to do my best every single time. And, you know, whether it's washing the gray matter out of a two-year-old's head that's going to be with you for 22 years, or if it's watching a young man who swallowed rat poison and this white foam is pouring out of his mouth, and you're instructed by the doctors, step away. This is a toxic area now. We're just going to let him go. That goes against everything that you are, to just let somebody die.
Right.
But the doctor makes the call. This is a hazard scene. Everybody out now. Go to the showers, drop your clothes, never touch them again. We're going to get you close to the OR, you know. And you're sitting there, and you're washing off in the shower, and you're watching this white soap suds at your feet going down the drain, and you're just immediately thinking about what you just saw. You know, tell me that doesn't make every shower that you have until you get help and process it correctly. You don't think about it. You do think about it.
You know, and I think that's a really good point, because what I see by the time people finally come in to get help is they say things to me like, yeah, every time I take a shower, I think of that case. And how do you feel when you think about that? Well, I try really hard not to feel. I don't want to think about it, but I do, but I don't want to, but I try not to. Think of how much energy that takes out of your psyche to have to do that
right.
dance of denial and avoidance. And I don't want to feel that. I don't want to think about that.
I would say that even goes with those questions you asked me at the beginning, the signs. If you're having to have something playing all the time and you can't listen to your voice in silence while you're driving the car, that is a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
If silence haunts you, if you have to have music playing, something on in the house, that's a big, big issue that you're hurting.
What did the constant noise do for you?
Well, I went to having a earbud in my ear underneath the ER provided earbud for ER communications, and I would have, I hid it so that I wouldn't get in trouble, and that it would play audiobooks at a low volume that I would hear fine until a transmission was made, and then I would hear the transmission. But it kept my mind from going and talking and me having to listen.
So and, your thoughts became oppressive.
They were very oppressive, Doc. And as a matter of fact, towards the end there when I was driving into work, and my thoughts were looking up at the parking garage at university, was that maybe I should step off that parking garage, and that I would then, my mind would finally shut up, would finally go to, would just finally stop so that I could get some rest. Because I couldn't sleep at night, and I can't even enjoy peace and quiet. So you're not thinking about jumping off of a garage because you're, you have a history of depression. You've just been haunted by nightmares, and you can't sleep. And it's just a vicious, vicious toll. And that's why I'm so thankful for Dr. Bay, for the folks in your profession, because you guys saved me.
And, you know, and it's, I think that's a really important journey. And the last part of the show, I know that you're ready and willing to share with people how you got into help and how you were able to transform out of PTSD and find your joy again. And it's important to you and to me as a psychologist to let people know, how do you get help and how do you move through this, and that you can move through this. But before we get to that last section, we've got a couple more minutes here. What else do you want to tell your fellow medical professionals of what to look for in themselves?
If you're no longer taking care of how you look, mm-hmm. You know, those little subtle signs that you maybe don't go out and look your best, whereas you would have before. If you're not that concerned about how your kids represent your family when they go to school.
You start letting go of things that used to be important to you.
Right, exactly.
Like your car's filthy.
You know, those are...
It's got McDonald's wrappers in the back. It's... Things
right.
like that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, no longer are there their dinner at the table and family discussions, and now it's McDonald's. And exactly.
So yeah. You stop taking care of yourself as well.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, that's very dangerous, too, because, you know, that can lead to some medical issues, which might possibly lead to a back injury, which might possibly lead to getting a script for pain medications,
mm-hmm.
which could possibly lead to you overemphasizing the pain in your back, which leads to maybe you putting a couple of pills in your pocket when you go to work so you can deal with not your back pain.
The emotional
the
pain.
Voices.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
You know,
and
it's interesting
about,
because
you
so
know,
many medical professionals do get addicted to pain meds. So many struggle with their weight because they're cramming down unhealthy food on the run.
That's right.
They're escaping by drinking a lot of
empty
calories.
Well, and then what happens is you're no longer, you're already beating yourself down, and then now you're looking in the mirror, and it's just depressed, right? It's just, now it's just exacerbating.
Mm-hmm.
One thing just piles on another.
It sounds exhausting, Dennis. All of it sounds like it just totally wears you down, and it's exhausting.
Yes, and that's why you look at the parking garage.
Yeah.
And then that's why you're so thankful for people like yourself. And we'll talk about in the next segment my leadership at my ER.
Yes. All right, we are going to go to break now, and when we come back, Dennis is going to finish us up on this show by really leading you toward help and acknowledging that you've got a problem and you need to get yourself to find your joy again. So hang on, we'll be back in just a minute.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Pope. the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. Dennis Blocker is here with me. He's the author of the book Clear, and he's talking to us about PTSD in medical professionals. So, Dennis, in this last section of the show, you and I had talked about this is where you really want to steer people who have trauma from doing trauma medicine. That how can they get help for themselves without making it seem like they don't know what they're doing or they've given up or they shouldn't do their job anymore. It's not about any of that. It's about acknowledging how your joy is gone and a lot of what you've been through has really taken you down. So how do you find your joy again? Can you talk about how you help others get into help? And how you got into help.
Yes, definitely. When things started spiraling down, the director, my charge nurse, several of the charge nurses could see it. It was very evident. And so they were, you need to get help. And I said, yes, ma'am. And they were like, no, Dennis, you're getting help, as a matter of fact. And they picked up the phone, called one of the other nurses, charge nurses, and said, drive Dennis to his doctor. And they weren't taking any chances. And so I went and they got me a counselor, and she started walking me through the steps of what I've been going through, and she started dealing with what she called stuck points. And basically she changed how I thought about, for instance, one was if she had her seatbelt on, she would have survived. And she said, well, how do you know that she would have survived if she had the seatbelt on? I says, well, actually, honestly, I don't know that she would have survived. It's something simple like that that will actually get stuck in your head. And it got stuck in my head for this little girl for 20 years. So if I had anything to say to new medics, new RNs, new firemen, police, I would say preemptively get a counselor. And I immediately, like at the beginning of your career, and set it up once a month. Many states have funding for that. Set it up once a month. Even if you go in and you just talk about sports, you have the opportunity. And just imagine a 25-year-old Dennis being able to talk about this 2-year-old a week out from the experience instead of 22 years festering.
Well, and I think you bring up a really good point about what's called CISD, critical instant stress debriefing. I'm trained in CISD, and it's specifically for first responders and trauma medical professionals who have severe trauma with a case, and they're supposed to debrief it right away. I mean, we'd like it to be within 24 hours that they start debriefing that trauma. But so many hospitals, fire departments, police departments, they won't pay for CISD for their employees. They make them just shove it under.
No, that's exactly right. On a recent post on Facebook, a new nurse came on and said, "What do I do? I'm trying to get my hospital to do CISD for debriefings." And the responses that came in, there was over 150 from RNs across the country and medics, and it was like, good luck getting that done. Like, do you like the rest of us go into the medicine closet and cry going home and drink?
There's no outlet for the trauma. An outlet from somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight, who wasn't at the trauma, so they're not triggered, and somebody who knows how to take them through it in an appropriate way, and evaluate when somebody's on the edge of the garage getting ready to jump.
Right. Doc, when I was sitting there with the counselor, this is not an imagination. I could feel weight drop from my shoulders, and I was able to exhale. And you go back to the next one, and it's just more and more and more weight is taken off. And it's just, it changes your life because your smile comes back. Your joy comes back, and you start doing the things you loved before. And you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, there you are, Dennis.
There's
been
Dennis.
Gone a while.
Yeah. Dennis shoved Dennis under so Dennis didn't have to feel.
That's right.
Well, and that other part of you that became dark and depressed and just burdened with trauma after trauma after trauma finally was full.
Yes.
That reservoir that you talk about couldn't hold any more.
No more.
Yeah, and that...
Yeah, that was a very vivid day for me when my cup was full.
Well, and what's really cool about what you're saying is take new nurses and doctors and trauma workers, firefighters, police officers, everyone that's working all this first responder stuff that is so traumatic and bloody and gory, and there's so much death and destruction that you see and work with. If you start getting help for that before your reservoir is full, before you have no space left to process.
Absolutely.
So your idea of having a way to process that from the time you first go into your career, it's going to make you better available to your family, to your marriage, last longer in your career without it killing you. Emotionally or figuratively
or
literally?
Well, and let's face it, your first responsibility is actually to your family. It's to your kids. That's who you were given first. And that's who your main responsibility is, too. And you can't do that if you're drowning in all of this and coming home and you're just this bear of a person. It's not fair to them.
No, and it doesn't make you feel good about yourself either. So it adds to the trauma. The guilt and the shame and the I should be doing this differently and I shouldn't be feeling this and I feel like such an idiot for sitting in the supply closet sobbing my eyes out, that doesn't make you handle it better. And the guilt and the shame makes it all worse and heavier. So what I'm hearing is when you got into therapy and you started really working on your trauma, you started letting go of some of that guilt and shame, some of those blocks where you really held on to stuck points. Like, if only this had happened, then that wouldn't have happened. You started to let go of a lot of that and not carry it around with you anymore.
My gosh, it's so liberating, Doctor. It's so liberating. And, it all came down to, was this based, is your belief on this, is it based on emotion or facts?
Mm-hmm.
And then 98% of it was all based on emotion and wasn't forced on me. It's what I did to myself, actually.
Well, your brain was scrambling for a way to put it into some kind of box that you could put it on a shelf and put it away because you had to have some understanding or some answer or some clarity as to why something so tragic would happen. And it's interesting. I know we've talked a lot about the children examples because I think a lot of medical professionals, their biggest traumas are around the children they can't save.
Sure, definitely.
It pushes their own buttons for their own kids, but it's like such a lost life that could have gone on, and it just rips them.
Well, and plus, doctor, you know, when you're thinking of in there, I also have the context of the death. That two beds down is the drunk guy who hit her in her family, and he is cursing and swinging at the medical staff, demanding pain meds for his broken leg. Just totally oblivious. But you have to be professional and provide amazing care for this guy who just wiped out this little girl's family and her.
Right.
And now I'm, you know, washing her hair and changing her sheets and this and that, listening to this guy. And that just, that's like I explained with that chisel and the hammer, it just...
Yeah, that's called cognitive dissonance, where you are feeling two very different things at the same time, and you have to rectify that some way so that you can keep moving forward. And it's very hard to deal with that later when you go home and say, wow, oh, how do I, you know, oh my gosh, how do you put that into any kind of framework that lets you go to sleep and not have a nightmare? It's what
absolutely.
PTSD is made of. And we only got like another minute, and I know that you and I could go on for hours trying to talk about this to help medical professionals.
Yes, definitely.
But I want people to understand that Dennis Blocker came on this show today because he has a huge commitment to helping trauma medical professionals acknowledge their difficult job, acknowledge their PTSD, or even just the horrendous emotional things they hang on to. He wrote his book called Clear, and it's Dennis R. Blocker II, and the book is incredible. It's a very good read. I couldn't put it down, and I told you in the beginning I'm really picky, and I couldn't put it down. It's not only well written, but it just flows, and it gives you such an incredible picture. I highly recommend it to families of trauma medical professionals because you will get a glimpse of what your family member goes through all the time. And I think that empathy from you to them is extremely helpful. So we've got to stop, Dennis, but I just am deeply grateful for you being willing to come on Therapy in a Nutshell today to help other medical professionals. And you and I have become friends now, so I will be talking to you soon. But I think you're doing a great job.
I look forward to it, Doc.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dennis, for coming on. I'll talk to you
soon.
Thank
you for this opportunity.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, we've got just a couple minutes here, and I want to let everyone know that I am so sad to say that this is my last radio show on KCNR. I have loved for the last 3 years doing Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, but it's time to not tie up middle of the day every Saturday of my life and free that up some. I will be going on with my podcast, Therapy in a Nutshell, and you can find that anywhere, any podcast forum. Just type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. I'd like to thank Carl and Linda Bott, the owners of KCNR. I'd like to thank my producer, Jared King, who's just been amazing and has become a good friend. And I have loved being here, helping all of you. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. Crap. So I want to thank you all very much because in Therapy in a Nutshell, I have just wanted to help heal the world 1 hour at a time. And I'm going to keep doing that with my podcast. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.